Holmes had recovered his equanimity, though I still seemed to detect gleams of amusement in his expression. "Dear me, this is a very sad development, Watson, is it not?" said he. "And yet there are singular points about it which hold out some hopes for our client."
"I'm delighted to hear it," said I heartily. "I was afraid it was all up with him."
"I would hardly go so far as to say that, my dear Watson. The fact is that there is one really serious flaw in this evidence to which our friend attaches so much importance."
"Indeed, Holmes. What is it?"
"Only this, that I know that that mark was not there when I examined the hall yesterday. And now, Watson, let us have a little stroll round in the sunshine."
With a confused brain, but with a heart into which some warmth of hope was returning, I accompanied my friend in a walk round the garden. Holmes took each face of the house in turn and examined it with great interest. He then led the way inside and went over the whole building from basement to attic. Most of the rooms were unfurnished, but nonetheless Holmes inspected them all minutely. Finally, on the top corridor which ran outside three untenanted bedrooms, he again was seized with a spasm of merriment.
"There are really some very unique features about this case, Watson," said he. "I think it is time now that we took our friend Lestrade into our confidence. He has had his little smile at our expense, and perhaps we may do as much by him, if my reading of this problem proves to be correct. Yes, yes, I think I see how we should approach it."
The Scotland Yard inspector was still writing in the parlour when Holmes interrupted him.
"I understand that you are writing a report of this case," said he.
"So I am."
"Don't you think it may be a little..."